Welcome to the Spirit School of Ministry podcast, where we discuss discipleship in your everyday life. Hey, everybody. Welcome. Pastor David here with Pastor Bob Wilk to my left. And a special blessing today across the seas from the origin of the gospel. Pastor Liz Jones is joining us from Thessaloniki, Greece, and she is going to be part of this podcast. I think it's going to work out really good. And Liz actually had some things.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, Liz actually had some things that she was thinking about that she wanted to discuss. So I'm going to kick it to Liz and you can begin to lead us.
Okay. Wow. It feels like I'm right there with you again. I'm having like a PTSD.
Hands across the water.
Oh, my gosh.
That was for you.
You're supposed to wait until I'm done talking and then it's your turn. Mm.
Listen, people listening to this are going to have to figure it out like we're figuring it out, right? Mm. Okay.
So it's good to be with you guys again. It's been a little while.
Yeah,
sure has.
That was the end of that sentence. Now it's your turn. You could say something nice.
Yeah. Well, it's great to have you with us again. And it'll be good to talk about the wilderness. It's such an uplifting topic that Liz wanted to talk about is these wilderness seasons.
Yes.
You know, she's out there in the wilderness of Greece and the wilderness of the waters of the Aegean Sea and Mount Olympus and all the things from Greek mythology. So maybe that's what brought that to her mind. But it'll be good to discuss it.
I refuse to speak about it because I don't want to get drug out into the wilderness with her.
Oh, I know. That's where Azazel lives.
Who?
Okay, read the Bible. Yeah, that's in
Leviticus 16. Is that a guy from Brooklyn? Yeah. I knew a guy like that from Brooklyn once.
Hey, Azazel. $2 off kielbasa. Yeah. Yeah, it kind of sounds like that. Well, with that, maybe we should get down to business and let Liz ask her questions of us and we can discuss the wilderness.
Yeah, well, I've been thinking about this subject for a little while here because I think sometimes as Christians, and especially maybe people who are younger in the Lord, they begin to encounter times where their faith gets tested and they begin to struggle and they begin to wonder, you know, what do I believe and why do I believe what I believe and is this true and how do I navigate this? Or maybe there's times when they're not hearing God as clearly as they used to. And then the panic sets in, right? Like, oh no, what am I doing wrong? What's happening? It's like a very unfamiliar thing. It's something, and they're not quite sure how to navigate those times. So I thought it'd be interesting to talk about it today because it really helps to understand that it's not something that's uncommon for believers to encounter these seasons. Mm-hmm. And there are ways, I think, that we could help people navigate through them better and come out stronger on the other side. So that's a little bit of kind of what I wanted to discuss today. And I thought maybe we'd just start off with maybe talk about some of our personal experiences, because I think it helps to kind of take away the stigma of going, you know, like I'm struggling and no one else struggles, but I'm struggling. There must be something wrong with me. So maybe if you guys want to, could you tell us about some times when you have gone through a faith struggle or a challenge or a time when you had to really wrestle with questions?
Pastor Bob?
Oh, you're going to throw that one on me. Okay, I see how that works. I'm trying to think about the time when I didn't struggle. You know, I mean, I just think, you know, it's like the Bible almost promises us, right? Peter talks about, you know, the trial of our faith. It sounds like it'll be a trial, mm-hmm. right? I know it shouldn't be a drudgery and you're just like plowing through your life forever. I get that. But there's always going to be something I believe you're challenged with. And I think what happens with people like that is, and us, is that you start to isolate and feel, you know, alone in the trial. And I don't think God planned that, actually. I think that's when the enemy starts to isolate someone. And in reality, I believe he, you know, if one of the secrets to going through that time, because we are not going to give people something today that keeps them out of that trial of faith. That's actually right. not possible. So I don't want to promise somebody something we can't deliver, right? But what I will say is that through it, and it doesn't have to be misery because it can be a time of learning, but through it, I believe that if you understand the tools you have available to you in the process, that you can lean into those tools strategically, okay, and tactfully so that you can navigate that time properly. And so I think we will discuss some of that, obviously, as we walk along here. But that's the first thing when I started thinking about this subject is that for someone to think like, oh, my gosh, I'm going through this trial. Nobody else is going through it. And now I have to work through it all alone. And that is, you know, to me, like that's the kiss of death. That's just, you know, that's exactly what the enemy would like to do to you. Or I'm going to say, if you have some strange mindsets that maybe you've picked up along the way, that you will revert to that. And, you know, the enemy hardly has to work on you at all. You'll just keep yourself in that little prison. So that's what I have to say.
So can you remember any specific times in your life where you went through something like that?
Well, absolutely. Like I said, it's not an unusual time, actually. There, I think times of quietness from the Lord is not that unusual for me. I've grown where I understand that especially you get a little older in God, that he doesn't have to entertain you all the time, but he can speak to you. So I'm going to say when I go through those times, just so people aren't just left out there right from the beginning, when I go through those times, I immediately hold on to the word. I don't go to how I feel. I don't go, you know, to what I'm thinking. I'm not even that concerned about how I sense he's speaking to me directly in my, you know, spirit to spirit. I go straight to the word of God and just bury myself there. I release myself to his word. This is going to help somebody, okay, out there. Even if you're not understanding at that time, even if you think that word's not speaking to you directly at that time, you lean into his word because his word carries a power, especially when it's anointed by the Holy Spirit, that goes way beyond your thinking and way beyond what you think or how you think God should interact with you at any given time. Mm-hmm. And so I would say first tool, just because I don't want to leave people out there. We're going to discuss a bunch of stuff here, but just lean into him. So those times are not, like I said, they're not that unusual for me. I can think of lots of times, and some of those times I think have been very strategic in my life. They actually have helped my life because the trial, like I said, of our faith is something that actually strengthens us. And I don't want to just co-opt the whole thing here, so I'll let Pastor David, he's a lot smarter. Mm-hmm. He can talk. Mm.
Okay. Well, if the question was like, if I've had times of, really questioning faith, yeah, I really, you know, I have. So I think there's different, ways of looking at the trial of faith. There are certain trials that are like, I remember when I was single and I was lonely and I wanted to be married, but that didn't make me question God and that didn't make me question God's goodness. But then there's times that you question God's existence or, you question God's goodness. And really the term wilderness season is drawn from, Exodus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, where the people of Israel are in the wilderness. They're with the cloud and the fire and the presence of God, but they're completely rebelling against God, and they want to go back to Egypt. They don't think that God has the best interests in mind. Maybe God's cruel. Maybe God has evil motives for them. Maybe he doesn't, you know, they don't believe the destiny that God has. And I've been through times like that when, I went through, you know, just certain times in my life where I felt, you know, isolated, or I just moved to a new area, or, you know, things weren't working out for me, with my ministry or with relationships or something like that. I've questioned God's goodness, and you have to come through that. I've also, you know, as a teacher of the Word of God, I've been exposed to a lot of different viewpoints, and I've done apologetics, and I've argued, hopefully reasoned with a lot of people that, that are not believers, and they bring up a lot of good points, and you have to take it with a grain of salt, but you have to seek the answer. And so if you are going to be a thinking Christian and you want to know the truth of God's word, you're going to hit several snags. During the COVID time, there was the great deconstruction where a ton of evangelicals and, you know, whatever you want to call us, left the faith, because I don't even know what was happening. There was a whole demonic campaign where a lot of people, it was just, they're like, this isn't worth it to me. I'm not going to walk after God. I either have doubts about his goodness or I have doubts about his existence and I'm just done. I don't want to be part of the church culture. This is not worth it to me, you know? And that was just what the people of Israel were facing. They're like, it was a lot better when I got whipped 8 hours a day, but then I could sit by the Nile River and I could eat a mango or whatever it is that, you know, so I think there's different levels of the trial of faith. There's certain things that are just hard, but there's certain things that you can't go forward until you deal with it. And you have to just deal with those, whether that's getting an answer or whether that's battling in prayer to understand the Father and God's goodness, or whether that's getting plugged into people that can carry you, but you can't brush it under the rug forever. And I think a lot of times those dark seasons, wilderness seasons, you've had a cognitive dissonance of something that doesn't make sense to you or something that's really hard for you to accept about God or about your life. And you haven't dealt with it. And it just, it begins to consume you until you turn your face to God and you start to deal with it.
Liz, I also want to speak to, and I think it's something you can relate to, and you might want to speak to also, and that is, I think there have been times where I've gone through physical things, sicknesses and things, and those are an interesting kind of trial. And how we navigate those are interesting. And but also those are the times, I think, where the trial of the faith is really pressed on, because in some cases, it doesn't stop. It just is. Mm-hmm. And yet you're still looking to God and walking with him and pressing into him. So I don't know if that, and I think that people listening, that there are going to be people, because we're human beings on the planet, and there's just life on the planet. And it's also, you know, sin has its, is permeating the world. That sickness is also in the world. And when we're affected by that, I think that the way we approach God could change, and we could doubt him at those times pretty significantly, actually. And I know of people who have, I'm going to just say, left the faith because they just, either they weren't healed, or someone they loved wasn't healed, or someone they loved passed because of a sickness. Yeah. And those are serious things. Those are, I mean, if we're talking about this is the reality that faces everybody on the earth. And how we deal with that is significant, actually. And I believe those are the areas that people really feel a wilderness experience that you were talking about.
Do you have any times, Liz, that you've dealt with where you walked through the wilderness?
Yeah, for sure. For me, a really significant time was in my teen years, actually, where I just began to question everything. It was like, what do I believe? Is any of this real, or have I just been trained to believe this, you know? And it was actually about a year-long process for me where I just told God, like, if this is real, I need you to prove it to me. And he did. But it took time, and I had a lot of questions, and I think I really found that God is not afraid of our questions. I think a lot of times he actually provokes the questions in us because he wants to bring us to a place of growth. There's a maturing that happens in those times. And, it's really distressing. I think it can be really distressing when you start to realize, like, everything I thought was settled in my life actually might not be. And I think that's what I see happens in people sometimes, is when sometimes it comes really unexpectedly. And then all of a sudden they find themselves wondering, do I believe this? Is this, you know, why do I believe this? Is just something someone told me, or I think I should, or I see a lot of distress come on people. And I think if we can help alleviate some of that, just understanding this is part of the Christian walk, is that the Lord will actually bring you into times where everything kind of comes into question, because he wants to establish a firm foundation in your life. And we know the enemy is right there to take advantage of those times. But we remember this, it was the Spirit of God that drove Jesus into the wilderness. And also the enemy was there. But the Spirit of God drove him there. for a purpose. And he came out on the other side filled with power. And so I think that I just want to tell anybody that if you are in a wilderness time or you find yourself in that situation and that panic starts to set in and the fear starts to set in of, oh my gosh, I thought I was this type of person and maybe I'm not. Just understanding that the Lord can work in your life. And many times he provokes those times because he's doing something really sovereign in our life. And so it's just understanding the work of the Lord is to strengthen us. And if the Spirit of the Lord leads you in somewhere, he will lead you out.
Right. Yeah. Liz, I have a question for you. You mentioned about that time when you were younger, and I know that there are lots of young, especially younger folks that go through that stage, through that time. And there may be some of them listening to this or maybe their parents or friends. And so during that time, did you, I know it sounds like you brought that before the Lord, but did you bring those questions before anybody else?
I did. Yeah. I talked to my parents quite a bit during that time. And I'm sure that the way I was thinking was very like distressing to them also. Cause when you raise a kid in the Lord and then they come to you and are like, I don't know if I believe any of this. And what about this religion? That seems pretty appealing. And what about this thought? That seems pretty good. And I'm not sure that I fit in this church lifestyle. Like that's gotta be quite a shock, you know, but I really honored them because they didn't freak out and they just talked with me as much as I could handle at that time. But I think they really trusted the Lord to work in my life. I'm sure they were praying also, but I think that them not freaking out on me, like, what's wrong with you? You know, we've raised you this way. You're, you know, not condemning me for the process that I was in and just walking with me as the Lord proved himself to me, I think was huge.
So it was important that they acknowledged the trial of your faith that you were going through. Also, I have a question about, were you afraid to bring those questions up to them? And how did you go past that place? Because I'm going to guess, well, I'm just going to say, everybody goes through the trial of their faith, whether or not they're willing to confess that or speak it or profess it, that maybe they're afraid. I don't want to say it because then, you know, something will come on me or, you know, or someone will think bad about me. It's like, if you don't think you're going through the trial of your faith, I have to question whether or not you actually are in the faith, to be honest with you,
right?
Because that's the promise behind that. And it's to strengthen us. Like you said, Jesus came out in power. He came out strengthened. We're supposed to come out strengthen at the end of that or at some level, right? But how did you get past the any fears that you had of bringing that? Maybe you didn't have fears, but then I think we should address, what about people who have fears about bringing that up?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't think I had, I was afraid of disappointing them. I was afraid of disappointing my parents because I had a lot of honor for them. And I was disappointed that they would, that they would be disappointed that I was questioning things. Or maybe I didn't have the answers I thought I should have. But thankfully, we have a good relationship. So I remember that it was too difficult for me to discuss those things with them. And they could probably tell that something was happening anyway. In my mind. But I do, there have been other times since then, especially when I got into older years where I was more involved in ministry and even leadership and then started having some questions about why am I doing what I'm doing? And am I doing it just because I'm expected to? Am I doing it because I believe it? You know, those questions started coming. That was much harder for me to go to talk to someone about because I felt like maybe I would fail somebody, you know, like my leadership, if I mentioned that I was having doubts or questions or struggles. And I think in those instances, again, I don't hide things very well. So I think they could say, they could see that something was happening in me anyway. But I think I just got to the point where I was like, I have to talk to someone about this or I'm going to fail all the way. Like I won't be able to come through this in a healthy way if someone doesn't help me come through it. And it may, I may lose position. I may lose respect. I may lose reputation, but at least I won't lose my whole Christian life, my whole faith, you know? So I think it kind of came to that place for me in that instance.
I have this concern that a lot of people may just get along, go along to get along and actually drift into that place in the wilderness and never come out. Matter of fact, I think you can have what looks like on the outside, a fairly successful Christian life, if you will, or walk, and be there, like be totally there, questioning, not knowing, but out of fear, like you say, out of losing your place, your position, your standing. I mean, the rough part of that is it is the seat of pride. I mean, that's what that is. You're afraid, like, how are you going to look, or how people are going to perceive you. But to think that for anyone to think that anyone never went through the trial of their faith. If honestly, if someone stepped, I don't care who they are. If they came up and someone said, "Yeah, I never doubted," I would think they were lying. Personally, I don't even know how, or they just don't know Jesus. They're a Hindu or something. I don't know. it's just like I just don't see how that's actually possible or biblical. And like I said, the trial of our faith, I don't think is a failure of our faith. I think it's the trial. You know, Pastor David, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with all that. I think, like when you're in ministry, there's more at stake. And, you know, if you're like leading people, then you want to set a good example. And maybe the example is the leaders never question anything.
Right.
Maybe that actually doesn't sound like a very good example. You know, maybe the leader should be teachable and discovering things. And I think we need to differentiate between deconstructing the core of the faith and deconstructing things on the perimeter that don't make sense, you know, or like, so like the doctrines at the center of Christianity, who's Jesus, you know, are we saved by grace? You know, is God love? Like those things are really important, and you can hold those things and still question, you know, predestination and evil and suffering and, you know, all kinds of things that people question. How does this make sense? How does it make sense? I was born in America and that's why I have access to the gospel and other people don't, you know, like those are things that you have to, that I've wrestled through, you know, and I'm still wrestling through in a lot of ways, but it doesn't mean I don't know God and I don't believe that he has an answer. Right. And so I think like we have to always, what's always helped me is I've believed that if you seek that you find, and I believe that if I don't see the answer in the word or in Jesus, I can keep looking and I will eventually find the answer. Right. And so I can have faith in him, where I think a lot of, maybe I've seen people that something doesn't make sense to them, or there's a way they want to live that, you know, seems condemned by the scripture. So they just chuck the scripture, or they chuck the core of the faith to pursue some peripheral thing. You know, and so as a leader, I think as long as we're holding fast to our faith in Christ and we're serving him and we're preaching the gospel, we're going to work out how it, you know, how it applies to our culture or our family or our relationship, or we're going to work out, you know, certain open-handed elements of our doctrine. But that doesn't mean we have to divide from other Christians or from fellowship or God's calling. But yeah, there's definitely more pressure if you're like in a leadership position or you're like in a, you know, a servant position that's important where you have influence, and you have to have wisdom of how you deal with the trial of your faith, you know, and how you go through that. Cause there's always someone looking to you. If you're a parent or you're a teacher or you're a boss, there's people looking to you as an example of Christ. And so can we learn how to struggle with God and with people that we trust, while we're still, you know, presenting the gospel of grace, we're still presenting a faithful representation of God. That was just a few thoughts I had.
Yeah. And I think just in plain English for people to, you know, you probably, if you're going to voice or work through those things, you probably want to work through those things with someone that's stronger in the faith or at least, you know, appear and not go to someone who's weaker in the faith that you know is weaker, or a child, you know, someone that's immature or brand new to the faith, and start trying to work out things, you know, with them, because that's just going to erode their faith, because they haven't built a foundation yet that stands sure. They're just still developing the foundation. And so that is I think that's a very important thing. Someone who may be listening to this, it's like, I wouldn't go work it out with somebody you absolutely know is struggling in other, maybe even more foundational things, not peripheral, like you said, like things that, you know, just basic, the core of Christianity, and they're dealing with that still. And, you know, is there a triune God? Yeah. You know, I mean, you know, those kind of things. And then you start working out stuff like that with them. They have nothing to build on, nothing to help you with, actually. Actually, I believe you just hurt them.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to go back to something you mentioned, Pastor Bob, because you said that you recognize there are seasons like where God may be quieter like than other times. Can you expound on that a little bit?
Yeah. And I don't know if it's quieter because of perceived quiet, or maybe the quiet that the talk you're used to. Let me put it that way. So there are times, like there's certain ways and those are seasons also, where I've gotten accustomed to the Lord speaking to me in a certain way. Okay. And when that changes for some reason, it can rattle you a little bit. Your expectation is that he's going to talk this way, and all of a sudden he stops doing that. And so he may be, what I've seen, I can only say this in hindsight, looking back, it looked like he was starting to speak to me in a different way, communicate to me in a different, commune with me in a different way. And I either wasn't ready for that, or I had never experienced that before. And then all of a sudden he's doing that. So those seasons, I don't know if I'm answering your question completely, but those seasons, the transition of those times are rough, because you're in a place that you're not accustomed to. You've grown accustomed, like in any relationship, you can grow kind of like just okay, and you just get along, and, you know, and I think God intentionally kind of shakes it up every now and then and says, hey, we're going to do things a little different. We're going to add a little different kind of spice to our relationship. And we're just going to, you know, we're going to deal a different way here. And this is going to be rough. It's going to be rough on you for a while. Sometimes I think I've grown to recognize when I'm in that transition a little sooner now, but it's still awkward. I can just tell you that. So yes, there have been times when where perceptually, I think it seemed like he went quiet, but in reality, he was just speaking either in a different language to me, a different way to me. You know, all of a sudden, I can tell you specifically, there are times when I felt like it was quiet, and then all of a sudden I realized he's speaking to me through other people in a way that I'm not used to, or through events, or through the word in different ways that I'm used to receiving. And you know how we can get kind of in a way like, okay, God talks to me this way and in his word, and then all of a sudden it's not that. And like I said, for me, it's identifying that I'm in a transition, but having to, I guess, suffer through the change. Like you, Pastor Liz, you're learning Greek right now because you're there in Greece. And I bet you that's just fun and games all the time, right? I mean, and now it's a whole different language, and you're going through the, you know, the rough parts of communicating with people and hearing them and hearing what they're actually saying and the subtleties of language and all that. And I think that for me, that's how it is with how it's gone with the Lord in the past. So I don't know. Hopefully that answers your question.
It's just something I've been thinking about, because I'm actually in kind of one of those seasons, you know. So, and I think especially as prophetic people, sometimes we go through, at least me, there's times when I'm like, it's just like, he's giving me stuff all the time for this person and this person and this group, you know, and then other times it's like nothing, you know, and I'm asking, sometimes it's like, But so I guess, yeah, just like I'm wondering, is it just, are there just times like that? Or am I just learning to hear, like you said, you're learning to hear him a different way and look for him in a different way. It's like you go back to the same place to find him and he's not there. Right. And then it's like, oh no, where did you go? Are you still with me? You're still here.
Where is my beloved?
But I think, you know, it's helpful to share those kind of experience, lived experience, because when the first time it happens, you know, when you're walking with God and everything's good and you're communing and he's speaking to you, and then you're like, hey God, you know, you're talking to him and then it feels like nothing, you know, that can be, and then like days go by and sometimes weeks go by and you're like, where did I do something? What happened? You know, I thought we were good, you know, and again, the kind of the panic sets in, and then the searching of like, what do I need to fix? What do I need to fix? What do I need to do? Where are you? Did I chase you away? Did I do something wrong? You know, all those things. I think it's just helpful to talk about some of these realities.
Right. I'm going to say prophetically on a lot of different levels. Right now, I think I'm actually in one of those seasons, to be honest with you, right this moment. And it's interesting. My expectation is in him. So I've grown to that place. I don't mean grown big or whatever. It's just I've grown to understand that, oh, he takes care of stuff, that things I can't take care of. Like, I actually can't change the situation. And so my confidence is, oh, he's in his time, in his way, it will become apparent how he wants to communicate. And it doesn't mean I don't hear. And also, it's interesting during those quiet times for people who are prophetic and all that, you still sense him. Like, he's still there. He's present. He's quiet. And you're very used to like, oh yeah, you know, hey, this, and this. It's like spelled out, you know, and then all of a sudden it's not. And you're like, huh, okay. So now you get to wait. And that waiting is not inactivity. It's an anticipation. It's a leaning into him. So I'm right now in my own life, I'm leaning into him, waiting with an expectation, but I'm not hearing them the way I did in my last season. Mm-hmm. You know, the interesting thing is I'm not worried about it this time. Sometimes you worry about it. And this time I'm just like, okay, it is what it is. And I understand, God, you do this. And so I'm just going to keep leaning into you and trust that you're faithful. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And so, you know, and I know that might sound really strange to somebody, like, you know, Pastor Bob's supposed to hear from God 24/7 it's like, really, what are you, nutcase? Like, who's that? You know? And so, but yes, he surprises me. He's talked to me recently a lot more in dreams, like that, you know, or just other ways. And it's a lot more leaning in that way than other ways. And so I'm like, okay, yeah. Whatever you want.
Yeah. I don't know. David, have you ever experienced like quiet times with the Lord or?
Yeah, I was going to say something, but I was raised in.
Not that you have you have three kids now. You don't have any quiet.
No, I love quiet times. I love to just read the Bible and reflect, and God will, you know, show me something. And I love to just take time, but you know, time is lacking sometimes, but I know what you mean. There's certain seasons that you do as an example then. And I mean, even, you know, for me, I might get things to teach or I might get things, that I'm like, oh, that's good. That's what this is saying. That's what God wants to do, but it doesn't touch my soul and it doesn't matter to me. So maybe that's bad for me to say, but like, it's just, you know, hey, it
you
does matter,
my
you know,
friend that way.
You know, it should, and you know that it should, and you're like, hey, I know I ought to be different than this, you know, and, you just continue. So like in Isaiah 50, it says, let the one who walks in darkness and has no light trust in the name of the Lord, his God. And that's all you can do sometimes. And God's, he just wants to be with you sometimes. He's like, he's not telling you everything and he's not, you know, opening up the heavens of, you know, revelation, or he's not, you know, filling you with so much power that you have patience for everyone every single second. And you, you know, it's just, you, it seems a little different, but he's there with you. And he says, you know, I'm with you. I'm right here. I didn't go anywhere. And you have to be okay with that, that the Lord's with me doing my daily business and he's sustaining me. There's certain times that he's carrying you and sustaining you, and you don't sense it in your emotions. It's not in your soul. Like, it is, it's part of who you are in the image of God. It's part of who you are in your spirit. And so, yeah, there's definitely, I think, you know, I was blessed to be raised in sort of a word-centric culture where you don't expect those type of experiences. Maybe we should more, you know, prophetic and just, you know, word of knowledge type leadings. But the word is our bedrock. And so, right. You know, if you continue to be in the word, and the Lord's kept me in the word through circumstances, through my job, through my calling, through my friends, and I stay in the word of God and it keeps me going. And eventually, you know, you do start, it does start to quicken. It does start to, jump up in your soul and your heart. And, you care about it again and you just ask forgiveness, you know, for the times that you didn't really care and you cared about other things. And, but if you're not, sometimes too, I just lose the energy to pursue God. You know, you're like, okay, I wish God would just come to me. I wish he would just come to me in a dream. I wish he would just encounter me. I read all these great heroes of the faith that Jesus physically walked into their room and, you know, put lightning on them and all this. I'm like, well, Jesus hasn't done that for me recently. But it's like, well, then how could you, to me, he's like, well, if you're going to shepherd people, they probably haven't had those experiences. So maybe you need to learn how to walk with me. You need to learn how to persist and how to trust and walk by faith and not by sight. So that might be a pill that somebody doesn't want to swallow, but you do have to walk through the wilderness. And when Jesus was walking through the wilderness, he wasn't having that great of a time. You know, he was fasting, he was praying, but the devil was constantly messing with him and he was just enduring it, you know, and because he endured it, it only took 40 days. For the people of Israel, it took them a long time. And it's probably taken me longer than it should have because I wasn't willing to just endure some of the pain and seek God. I just would rather sit back and watch Netflix and hope that God, you know, comes and grabs me by the hair like Ezekiel and just drags me somewhere. So, yeah. We need to have an active role. We need to have an active role in seeking God.
Yeah. Also, Liz, hearing David say that is, there's different ways people hear God. It's not just the prophetic, you know, unctions and things, but, you know, I think the word is actually the most significant way. And then I think of, you know, I think it's in Deuteronomy like 29, where he talks about, you know, the hidden things belong to God. The things that are revealed are for us and our children forever. And I think about that there are hidden things in God that he intentionally hides those things. I don't think he necessarily hides them forever. I think there's seasons and times, but speaking to getting in the word on a regular basis and letting it speak to you, not just prophetically hearing from God by Holy Spirit, but in that realm, when you're used to hearing him, revelationally hearing, not just hearing to get a message, although there can be revelation in that, not just hearing to teach, although there can be revelation in that, there should be, and inspiration, not just getting in the word just to get information about God and learning more stuff and how things work together, which is great and awesome and has to happen, right? But there's times when we're communing with him in the word, mm-hmm. and you get used to those times too. And when that goes silent and you're still getting in the word and it's still, he in his way is still getting in us. It's just not the way we're used to. Those are interesting silent times also, I wanted to say, mm-hmm. that I know, you know, because I've heard people say, yeah, I got in there, it was dry, you know, I just didn't get the same level of revelation that I've got. And I'm like, I'm thinking, yeah, okay. But, you know, but even in those times, you'll get little sparks of things and just like, he reminds you, like, I'm here, I'm training you in a different way. I'm showing, I'm revealing and communing with you in a different way through my word. And I think that's where I meant what I said earlier is that you need to really lean in and press in that area. Just stay there. Don't, even if it doesn't feel like something's happening, stay there with him in the word, because his word, he is the thing that will be a light to us. He is the thing that will deliver us. I'm saying he as the word. He's our communion. It's not, you know, just educational things and stuff like that. And there are sometimes silent times in there, or perceived silent times, and God is, he's there. And I think some, if you stick with it, you'll just get surprised along the way. Like, wow, oh yeah, you're back. But oh, now you're back, but I see you now like I didn't see you before. And I'm hearing you now in your word like I didn't hear you before. And so I would recommend to people, because I've heard people say this, that, you know, that, oh yeah, I get in the word, but it just goes in one ear and out the other. And I'm like, let it go in your spirit, because it won't go out the other. It's, you know, anyway.
Right.
Yeah. And there's a fine line between seeking God for the thrill of discovery and seeking God for God. You know, exactly. That you're just like, oh man, I'm no longer getting all these revelations. God's no longer telling me exactly what to do in my life. Mm-hmm. And he's like, well, I mean, it would be like being in a relationship with somebody that's a close friend or a spouse. And you're like, I love them as long as they're opening up to me and reaching out to me and asking me questions and helping me and telling me what to do. But the minute they want a day of silence, I got to leave, because that's so boring. And that's terrible. I didn't sign up for that. And you're like, well, come on, isn't this supposed to be a covenant where if God wants to spend a day being quiet, we should still hang out with him. We should still just be there with him. But we go, oh, I guess I did something, because I guess you don't talk to me, you know? And it's like, we do this with our human relationships, and we do it with God. And it's pretty immature, you know?
Yeah. As you're talking, I was just thinking, we're so used to the idea of God pursuing us that we fail to realize there we have to be pursuing him also.
That's good.
And that may not be an instant achievement. Yeah. There may be some pursuing for a while. There's a perseverance that is required to follow God. If we're following him, you know, it may take us a little bit to actually lay hold of him where he is now, mm-hmm. rather than just expecting him to come feed us everything, I guess I would say it that way. And also, I know one of you mentioned this, but also these are the times when we are required to walk by faith, where there's a faith aspect that comes in of, and really it's a soul struggle, right? Because our soul is the one affected during these times. Our emotions, our minds, our will, our spirit is perfectly connected with him.
Yeah.
So it's like the times of understanding, I'm walking according to what I know the truth is right now. I know that God is with me. He told me he would never leave me. He told me he would never forsake me. He is here. I may not feel him. I may not hear him, but he is here, because that is his promise. Mm-hmm. And so I think what is developed in us is the ability to walk steadfastly, regardless of emotion, regardless of our even the needs of our soul. We can still walk and pursue him as he deserves to be pursued. Mm-hmm. He does deserve it, you know. I wanted to ask you guys, when someone is in this kind of season, especially if it's something that is unfamiliar to them, and they're struggling emotionally, they're struggling just trying to, because sometimes a lot of confusion that comes in also during these times, and be a little bit of a whirlwind, and especially if that's combined with a physical ailment or other situations that can happen in those same times, how can the people around them help them as they're walking through?
Yeah, I think it's important what your parents said to you is give the person permission to be honest about it. If there's no honesty, there's no healing. If you don't open up the wound, the medicine can't get in, you know? And so the person has to be, I like to tell people, look at all the prayers in the Bible where people are raw and they just pour out their heart to God and they say, I don't understand. Why did you do this? You know, our princes are perishing in the street, whatever, you know, Lamentations. And they're really honest with God. But then through that, I always would just bring it back to Jesus, you know, and be like, let's look at Jesus here. I know there's a lot of things on your mind, but this is who God is. I mean, he took on flesh. He suffered. He understands. He paid the price to ransom you from all this. There is a future because of him. There's a resurrection. There's a hope. He's with you today. He's interceding for you today. And then, you know, you're just like, let me know anytime you need to talk, like you as a person, making a relational connection with them. Cause then they're like, wow, I told that to a minister, a Christian, a pastor, and they didn't rebuke me, but they showed me Jesus. I might trust them again. I might talk to them again. You'll be able to walk that person through that because Jesus always, he is the truth. So he will eventually prove the truth. If you walk with him, if you get him out of the word, like Pastor Bob was saying, you're not like studying the word for how can I understand this, but you're actually trying to get God out of the word, you know? So that would be kind of my approach. I don't know about you.
I was just really digging that random Lamentations reference. Princes.
Just don't read the first few verses of the book.
I'm still stuck there. I'm sorry. I love it. Yeah. Only Pastor David can do these things. But that being said, I believe that if the relationship, if you haven't spent the time having being in a relationship with people at some level, you know, I know it's never perfect. It's very difficult to just start that up when you're in the middle of a problem. Mm-hmm. And so I would recommend anybody now, maybe they're going through a light level, but you know, for the future, because I'm going to guarantee that you're going to go through the trial of your faith. It's just a matter of how and when. The why is already answered because God wants to strengthen you. And so you have to go through it. But I would say develop relationship now with people because when many, many times when you feel God has gone silent or God is not as near, I would say, that's why he put us here. That's why he put us together. That's why we're here. Like if you get down to the basic, the raw, you know, why is there a body of Christ? Well, if you can't love the people you see, how will you love the invisible God? I mean, God was planning on the raw component of like the basics of, all right, we're in each other's life and it can get as bad as you can imagine. And then you should have somebody you can go to and just be like, hey, I don't know which way's up right now. I don't know what I actually don't know. And people will go through this. I don't know if I believe in things, and they need to be comfortable with you and enough so that they have someone to go to and someone that's not just going to throw them by the wayside. Just like you mentioned, like with your parents, they didn't, you know, they didn't disown you on the spot, you know, and by the way, I don't believe God disowns us on the spot when we go through our faith, you know, things, because everything about us is, you know, I believe, Lord, help my unbelief. Because there are areas that everybody has unbelief in. I don't care who you are. There is, because you're not there yet. Doesn't mean you live there and that's your badge of honor. And that's, you know, it's none of that. It's just that's called life. You're walking out your life with God. He's a real God. He put us here on this earth with this stuff happening just the way it does. And we have to walk through it. We can't just, you know, make believe this is like we're in some weird spiritual ethereal place that we don't walk in life and have.
We are the chosen ones.
Yes. Yes. We're so spiritual of no earthly good. But the reality is, to answer your question simply, find somebody you're comfortable with that cares for your soul. Establish some form of relationship with them early on, and you will be able to go to them during the trials of your faith. Hmm. And they may not even have an answer for you, but you just, it's better for your soul that you're walking that with someone, right? Yeah. So you're not, you know, like the prince of alone in the street dying, right? You're someone's there with
die
you.
With the others.
Die with the others, right? You hear what I'm saying? And I don't know if that made sense. That's how I would approach it. I mean, honestly, I'm trying to, I mean, I love this subject, but I just believe that people need some tangible, like, how does this work? Like, how do I do this?
Because right.
Everybody's going or has gone and will go through this. Everybody.
Right.
How
right.
You, Liz?
I think that's one of the most important things. Someone walking alongside someone else that's going through it. And like I said, especially if they're younger in the faith or younger in age, it's just like, first of all, tell them, hey, this is normal. Like this is part of the Christian walk. There's not something wrong with you. I mean, let's talk about if there's something in your life that needs to be.
Right. That's yeah.
There may be something wrong with you.
There may be something wrong. But yeah. Let's get that out of the way first.
Yeah. But you're just trying to walk with God, and then, these questions come or challenges come. Like, yeah, that's part of being a Christian. Good job. You're living the Christian life. I've gone through it, and you'll go through it, and you will come out of it. I think speaking hope over people, especially when they can get into hopelessness pretty quickly and confusion, just like bringing some clarity of what's happening, I think is so valuable. And just reminding them, like, your faith is, I'm going to walk through this with you. You're not going to be alone, and you will come out stronger. This is the work of God. It will not be wasted. You will come out. Your faith will be stronger. You'll have learned how to walk with the Lord in a different way. Just like speaking over them, hope and purpose, I think can do so much for somebody, and continuing to do that, when they come back to you again. Yeah.
It's interesting to me, Liz, that speaking hope and purpose and faith to someone is mm-hmm. not giving them an answer completely to their trial.
No.
Like if you look, most people would be like, yeah, I'm in this. What's the answer? Now, if it is something just straight up, like, hey, the sin in your life, I would recommend you stop that. you repent and change and, I'll walk through that. That's one level of it. But I think the most common way is people, they need someone, like you said, to give them hope, give them a purpose for their future. And then to be there to walk it out with them. Like that's the most essential critical component of going through the wilderness. Because, Jesus, he went through the wilderness, I guess we could say alone, although the Holy Spirit led him there. So he was pretty used to it. And Father, he's everywhere. And he did have the devil there, but I don't know if you call that, not alone, but I don't think he expects us to walk alone through these things.
No, because then he gave the church.
Yes.
He gave the church. Yes. Like you were saying, that's the key.
Say real quick?
Go ahead.
These things will just test what you signed up for. They'll test like, oh, I thought I was going to get perfect family, perfect ministry, be happy, where it's like, I signed up for God. I signed up for the Father. I signed up to know Jesus. And that's something that can't be shaken. If you know who the Lord is, you'll keep going. You'll keep seeking him until you find him. That's his promise. If you keep seeking, you will find. It's the present tense, like keep on seeking. Not seek once and I didn't find him. It's you keep on seeking. Jesus in the wilderness was there for the Father, and every temptation was trying to derail him. And he kept going, no, you only worship the Father. The man doesn't live on bread, but on the word of the Father. Right. So he's, I'm not going to tempt the Father. Like I trust him. And so if you're really in it for that relationship, the trials will make your relationship stronger, but they'll also reveal if you're in it for something else. And maybe that's an opportunity to refocus what you're going for. Like a lot of people that get disappointed by people or by churches and they won't serve God anymore. It's like, well, wait, didn't you sign up to serve Jesus? Didn't you sign up to know the Father? These people can take your faith away from you. These questions can take your love of Jesus away from you. That's if that's settled, you'll find the answers to your questions.
Yeah, I love that. Knock and keep knocking. Yeah, right. And there will be someone answering. Yeah,
just bug him. Yeah. Jesus said, just bug the Father.
Opportunity, right? Just keep
answers.
Keep bothering him until he's like he understands his kids. Like, all right, it's like your kids, right? Like, all right,
I'm not coming back in here. Go to sleep. Yeah, right.
This is why us 17 times are so good. We just give the kid whatever he wants to begin with. We're their best friend.
Just stay up and watch cartoons.
That's why God is not a grandfather.
That's exactly right. I'm glad you brought that up.
He has no grandkids. Yeah. Maybe Liz should wrap it up for us here. Bring us back to sanity.
As we're coming to a close here, I wanted you guys just to list maybe one or two things that are the benefits of going through a wilderness season.
You figure out God's better than you thought he was.
Yeah. I want to say the wilderness season, I believe both scripturally, but also personally, at the end of it, you come to your promise. And it's so good. Mm-hmm. It's so good. What's there? That's that hope thing. And it's so good. it's rough on the way through, but it's the end is so good. Yeah. I don't know. Does that help?
Yeah. How about you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's great. I think you find out what you're made of. And the next time something comes, you understand you're not going to break so easily. And you know what it takes to actually walk in strength. And you've learned to exercise your muscles and use your sword. And so you're a better warrior in the next battle.
So good.
I think.
Nice.
Yeah. So
thank you, cool. Lord.
Well, thank you, well, Pastor thanks, Liz, for joining good. Us at the ends of the earth, back wow. here in Jerusalem and Judea of America.
Yes. Though well, I make my bed in Thessaloniki, you are there.
All right. Well, it was great having Liz back.
This is God's country, just so you know. This is God's country here.
Isn't that a country song?
This is God's country. Where's yeah. she at now? Is she in Hoboken?
Yeah. Oh, man. Well, from God's country to yours, we thank you for joining us on this podcast, and hopefully you will join us next time. Thanks. Thank you for joining us. Be sure to subscribe to get the latest episode. And for more information, visit spiritschoolofministry.com.